In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, the promise is fulfilled. The promise of the Holy Spirit coming. This is one of the great pieces of our salvation. First, the Lord was incarnate. He lived in a way that showed us how to live. He gave us an example. He spoke to us. Some of His words were preserved in writing, and the others in the hearts of the apostles, and there unto us. He was crucified, and then He was buried, then He rose again from the dead, making our flesh able to be alive. And then, after 40 days, He ascended into heaven, showing that human flesh can be with God. But none of this is possible without the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit enlightens a man. The Holy Spirit helps us to know the things of God. This is His ministry. The Holy Spirit is, shall we say, very humble. Because He does not speak of Himself, as the Lord said in the Gospel. Not the one we read today, but in the Gospel He said, this Holy Spirit does not speak of Himself. He speaks of the Father and of Christ. We call Him many things. The quintessential prayer for the Holy Spirit is, O Heavenly King, which we sang for the first time in 50 days last night. O Heavenly King, Comforter. He is our Comforter. Because there is much in the world that is difficult. There is much we do not understand. He comforts by warming us, by giving us knowledge, by rebuking us, by speaking to us about the truth. In fact, we call Him Spirit of Truth. Because the Holy Spirit is completely about the truth. There is a spirit that is not of the truth. That is of the devil. The Holy Spirit is wholly and completely about the truth. So this gives you an idea now, in these terms which we call Him, some of them, Comforter and Spirit of Truth, that the way to have the Holy Spirit abide in you is live according to the truth. Then we call Him everywhere present and filling all things. The Holy Spirit is, as God, all-powerful and able to be anywhere He wishes and do anything He wishes. And what He wishes will be accomplished. And that is the enlightenment of man. And we beg Him in the end of the prayer to come and abide in us and cleanse us of all our impurities and save our souls. We are asking the Holy Spirit to live within us. And this is a prayer that is answered. Because we are, as the Apostle says, temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in temples not made by man's hands, but in men. He lives within us. This is an amazing thing. We must cultivate the Holy Spirit living within us. Because the Holy Spirit will depart from us when we sin grievously and do not repent. In the psalm that David said after he had sinned grievously by adultery and murder, he said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Because he knew that his sin was grievous. But in his repentance, the Holy Spirit again filled him. One can say that all of our life is to create a place for the Holy Spirit to live. A clean place. Because the Holy Spirit does not live where there is filth. And by clean, of course, that means that we struggle to follow the commandments. That we struggle for purity, for truth. Since the Holy Spirit, whom we liken to be a dove, is pure. Because the dove is a pure and a clean bird. And He is the Spirit of Truth. So if we do not live according to truth, then we will not have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was promised after the Lord would ascend into the heavens. He had told His disciples that several times before His death. They didn't understand. He said, He would have to go away, or the Comforter would not come. And then when he came, the doors being shut on the day of his resurrection, he said, "Peace be to you." And then he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." This was not the giving of the Holy Spirit. This was the promise, again repeated, that the Holy Spirit would come. Because the Holy Spirit would be given after the Lord ascended, which would have been 40 days later. But notice how he said, "Peace be unto you." And then immediately he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." It is important in Scripture that when we read things, we see what things are in proximity to one another. Because that's important. It's important to see what's repeated, what's said a lot of times in different places, or what's repeated even in the same instance. And also to see the context and to see what things are near something that's being spoken of. It's not accidental that the Lord said, "Peace be with you," and then said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Because the Holy Spirit is a bringer of peace. But peace is only achievable if there is truth. We are given the Holy Spirit after our baptism, because we believe in a baptism of water and the Spirit. And so through our chrismation, the Holy Spirit is gifted to us. And the Holy Spirit fills us. But we must cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We must struggle to follow the commandments. We must struggle to follow the truth. Or else the Holy Spirit will not enlighten us. And we will be as a whited sepulcher. We will be a temple that is empty. And our temple was built for the Holy Spirit to live in. The Holy Spirit is likened to many things. We've spoken of a few of them. Comforter, Spirit of Truth. He's also, of course, likened to the wind. And that is from what the Lord said, and also from the account in the Acts of the coming of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, there was suddenly a rushing, mighty wind that filled the house. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them and was as cloven tongues of fire. So we liken the Holy Spirit to fire and to wind, because wind penetrates everything, and fire purges and warms everything. And also we liken him to living water, because water cleanses and refreshes and is really necessary for life. We also liken him to the dove because of purity, and also to the cloud because the cloud surrounds things. And all these things are approximations of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We will learn of the Holy Spirit if we live according to the truth. This is what we must do. Our world does not value truth, but we must value it. You must value it in your personal life. Not only to not tell a lie, but much more fundamental than that, to live according to the truth. If you say that you are a Christian, that means that what you care about is eternity. That's all that matters. Therefore, your priorities, your likes and dislikes, your ambitions should be in line with the truth. If we live a heedless life, we are not living according to the truth. If we're lazy, we don't live according to the truth. If we're more concerned with entertainment or with acquiring things, we don't live according to the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, which means we don't live in such a way that the Spirit would live in us. So brothers and sisters, let us rejoice that the Holy Spirit is come. And let us also struggle to live according to this Spirit, to what He teaches us, to live according to purity and truth. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.